We're now on Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. We are in discussing the individuals whom Yechezkel resurrected. It's about 20 lines down again, Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. Just before this, we have different opinions. Some opinions actually said, according to some Tanaim, this was actually only a mashal. Yehuda said it was only a mashal, that Yechezkel never actually resurrected people. And it just represents this idea of the Jewish people coming back from the dead, that even though the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they're going to come back, they're going to be returned from their galus. But he actually never resurrected anyone. But others held that he did. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Eliezer Benosha, Rabbi Yosef Lee, all hold that he actually resurrected people. Now, who were these people? So, Maninu Mesim Shecha Yechezkel. Who are these dead people that Yechezkel resurrected? And Rav says, Elu B'nei Ephraim. These are the B'nei Ephraim, the children or maybe grandchildren of Ephraim. Umanu Lakit B'tol. And they counted the end of the exile, of when Yitzias Mitzrayim would take place. B'tol, and they actually erred. They made a mistake. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Uvnei Ephraim, that the, it says this actually in Divrei Hayomim, that Edir Yom Aleph Perk Zayim Sigim Chav Tchav Beis Vnei Ephraim Shusach Uber Beno V'Tachas Beno V'Elad Beno V'Tachas Beno V'Zev Beno V'Shulach Beno V'Ezer V'Elad. So Ephraim's son Shuselach, and then you have all these other individuals who might be children, grandchildren, maybe great grandchildren. But it seems that all these people, the pasuk says V'Harogum Anshei Gas and Oldim Baretz, and the people of God living in Eretz Yisrael killed them. Well, Gat is probably the land of the Plishtim, because Ephraim's descendants want to take their cattle. It's written, Ephraim himself mourned their loss, and his brothers came to comfort him. So these are the people who were resurrected from the dead. Now, according to the simple reading of Divrei Yamim, so this means that before Yitzias Mitzrayim, there were children of Ephraim who went to Eretz Yisrael, or then it was Eretz Canaan, and they were killed. Now, you could say they went early on, even before the slavery starts, but Rav wants to suggest that no, that they left early before the B'nai Yisrael. They left early before the Yitzias Mitzrayim takes place, and they were killed. And he suggests they made a mistake. This is based on a discrepancy in the Torah. In Parshas Lech Lecha, in the Bris Be'er Sarim, Shem tells Avram that his descendants will be enslaved for 400 years. And yet in Parshas Bo, when the Bnei Yisrael leave Egypt, so then the Torah says that Umosha Bnei Yisrael, in the time that Bnei Yisrael were in exile, was 430 years. So that this mistake of Ephraim is connected to this discrepancy between Parshas Lech Lecha of 400 years and Parshas Bo of 430 years. So Rashi, in the Gemara here, explains that was their mistake. That there was a total of 430 years from the Bris Ben Absarim, when Hashem made this promise to Avram. But the 400 years only started at the birth of Yitzchak, because Hashem said that your descendants will be strangers in a land for 400 years. So the 400 years begins from the birth of Yitzchak. The Bris Ben Absarim takes place 30 years earlier when Avram is 70 years old. And the mistake of Bnei Ephraim is they thought the 400 years ended 4 years after the Bris Ben Absarim, but that was 30 years too early, and therefore they were killed. Ibn Ezra says that the 430 years starts from not from the time of the Bris Ben Absarim, but when Avram Avinu left or cast him. Svarno says actually that he combines these two opinions, and he says that the Bris Ben Absarim takes place at the time that Avram left or cast him. The Ramban says that they didn't make a mistake in calculating when the 400 years was. Originally, they were supposed to be in strangers or enslaved for a total of 400 years. That was the plan. That was the Bris Ben Absarim. But because of the sins of the Bnei Yisrael, because they didn't behave so well in Egypt. Yeah, they didn't. They were mavatul mila. They sinned, and in fact, the Ramban said their galus, their exile, should have lasted longer, but they davened to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem extended the galus for 30 years. And he said, don't be surprised about that. Even though Hashem said you're going to be enslaved for 400 years, We know that the Bnei Yisrael were originally supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael immediately after leaving Egypt, or shortly after leaving Egypt. But because of their sins, they had to stay 40 years in the desert. So that's the Ramban. Ramban says that the 4 years were supposed to begin from the birth of Yitzchak, and 4 years later they were ready to leave, but because of their sins, it lasted another 30 years, but the Bnei Ephraim left 30 years earlier. They left after 4 years after the birth of Yitzchak. So that's the Ramban's understanding. The Yad Rama says that their mistake was that they thought they could take cattle in Eretz Yisrael. And because Hashem said, V'achrechen yitzu b'chush gadol, that we're going to leave with great wealth. And they thought, therefore, they gave them the right to take cattle in Eretz Yisrael. And they were not allowed to because the redemption hadn't come yet. So it wasn't simply that they made a mistake and left early, but that they inappropriately took this cattle. The Maharsha says that why they deserve the death penalty? Because they violated an oath of peace. That Avram and Yitzhak both made treaties with Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, between these two nations. And then it was maybe family tribes. So Bnei Yisrael were not allowed to attack Avimelech and his descendants, the Plishtim. And here they did. They took their cattle. So therefore, they deserved the death penalty. I think what happened, so according to this, who did Yechezkel resurrect? These are individuals who want to force the Gula. They desire the Gula so desperately that they left early, which it's a nice thing. They wanted the Gula, but it was a fatal error. But maybe it wasn't so bad. I mean, it was bad, but their intentions were good. I mean, that's why they're being resurrected, so they can experience the Gula. You know, Bnei Yisrael did enter into Eretz Yisrael, and there was a Beis Mirsh that was built, even though, again, at this time, it's the destruction of the first place of Mikdash, but at least here were people who wanted to experience the Gula, who wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael, and now they can experience that they're indeed, the Bnei Yisrael indeed entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's Rav's opinion, who these Bnei Ephraim were. There's a second opinion, and that is Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel Amar, Eile Bnei Elam She'akafu B'tchias Mesa. Now these people denied the resurrection of the dead. Shenemar, because the pasuk Yecheskel says, "V'yomer lai ben Adam," and he said to me, "Ha'atzamos ha'ela kol beis Yisrael heba." These bones are all the house of Israel. Hine omim yavshu atzmos seinu vavel tikva seinu nigzar lanu. He said, "Our bones have dried up, and our hope is lost. That it's been decreed for us." Shem said that these bones are a siman, a sign for all the Jewish people, that just like these individuals denied Tchias HaMeisim, and they said, we have no hope, once we die, that's it, we're cut off forever. And now, once they're resurrected from the dead, so now just like they can come back from the dead, so too the Jewish people could also, all the Jewish people could also come back for Tchias HaMeisim. In other words, why did Hashem select these people to resurrect them? The message is that everyone will return. This is the Yad Ramah, the Marshal explains that the message is that all Bnei Yisrael will return. Everyone's going to return. Don't think you're beyond resurrection of the dead. And Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, "Elu Bnei Adam Shein Bahem Lachluchi Shel Mitzvah." These are people who don't even have the moisture of Mitzvah. No Mitzvah. She never had Samos Hayavesha Shivu Dvar Hashem. He's addressing these dry bones. So even these people who are sinners, they're going to be able to come back. It should be noted that the Radvaz understands that since these people denied Tchias HaMeisim, so they just came back and they died again immediately, right, shortly after. It was just a simon that the Jewish people could come back. And Rav Yitzchak Napcha Amar, Elu Bnei Adam Shechipu Asahechel Kula Shkatzim Urmasim. He says, these people, they were sinners. What do? They cover the walls of the Mikdash with pictures of different reptiles and animals that they made for idolatry. She never was a pasuk says vavo ve'ravi ne kol tavnis remes uvehem sheketz v'chol galu beisro mechukel akir saviv. Says that he saw that all these different pictures of reptiles and animals and disgusting things, and all these idols are engraved on the wall or saviv around the mikdash. We'll see when it's written in Yecheskel, when Yecheskel goes down to the valley, he sees these dry bones. The Navi says, "Vavirani aleim saviv saviv." He has a lashon of saviv. So what's a saviv? So who are these people? He passed me around. He had me walk around. Saviv, saviv. So who's the saviv? So Hashem showed them all. These are the people who, about whom Hashem said saviv. These are the people who were drawing pictures, idolatrous pictures on the walls of the Mikdash. So that's sort of like a second category. The first category are people whom a miscalculation about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Bnei Ephraim. Second was the resurrection, were people who denied Chesed Meisim, who were sinners of one sort or another. And there's a third opinion. And the third opinion is, Rav Yochanan says, Eilu Meisim Shebikas Dura. These are the people who died in the Valley of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar killed these people in the Valley of Dura. Rav Yochanan said, Minahar Eishel Ad Rabat. So who are these people? These are people who were from, he said, Minhar Eshel Ad Rabat, because the Valley of Dura is from the river of Eshel until a place that's called Rabat. Shebisha Shehegla, Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, as Yisrael, at the time when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people from Yerushalayim, Hayu Bahem, Bachurim, Shehayu, Meganim, Esachama, Biyafim, there were these young men who were so beautiful, so handsome, that the sun seemed dark compared to them. Vayu Kastios, Rose Osam Veshofos Zavos, and these women, these Babylonian women, were so infatuated by these young Jewish men. They saw them and they became Zavos. They, blood came out because they were so desirous of these men. Amru, so these women said to Levaleim, they told their husbands about these handsome young man, Uvaleim Lamelech, and the husband says to the king, and Siva Melech Faragum, so the Nebuchadnezzar decided, command to kill them all, so that their desire would stop. But Dayan, Hayushofo Zavos, they were still, they saw the beauty of these young men, even when they're dead, they still had this desire, the blood was coming out. Siva Melech Ramasim, so the king commanded that they should be crushed, stoned, so that their appearance would not be recognized. And these are the young men who died. According to this opinion, it was due to no fault their own, and these people were resurrected. And Tanur Rabbanu rabbis teach, B'shah shehipil Nebuchadnezzar harasha es chanan mishal v'azari l'kib shanesh, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah to a fiery furnace, because they did not want to worship Avodah Zarah. Oh, by the way, again, So, just want to point out, according to this, the purpose of resurrecting them is to show, like here, the Nebuchadnezzar thinks that he could, you know, it's over. It's over between, with God. God is God. The God of the Jews is God. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. There's no more. There's no relationship anymore. He can do what he wants. And so now, the point is, they were resurrected to show, no, we still have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara is going to connect this with the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So the Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fiery furnace because they didn't want to bow down to an idol. And Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel, Hashem said to Yecheskel, Leich v'achi emesim bikas dura. At this same time that they're being thrown into the furnace, Hashem tells Yecheskel to resurrect them in the Valley of Dura. Kim Shehach Yosam, when Yecheskel resurrected them, Bo atzamus v'tapchulo losa rashapano. These bones came from the valley and they smacked Nebuchadnezzar in his face. Amar, Nebuchadnezzar said, Matiman Shalelu, what's the deal with these bones? There's a debate, two different opinions in Rashi. Either the bones actually from this valley came up and smacked him, because he was somewhere nearby. Or according to another opinion in Rashi, he actually used some of their bones, the bones of people that he killed, and fashioned kalim, certain vessels out of them. And when Yecheskel started resurrecting the dead, so these bones that were part of a kli came up and hit him. And Nebuchadnezzar said, Matiyon Shalelu, what's the deal with these bones? And below, the servant said to him, Chavreyon Shalelu, the friend of these bones, which is Yecheskel, I'm sorry, the friend of these three people, Chanan, Mishael, and Azariah, Yecheskel, Mechayim Esim Bikos Dura. He's resurrecting the dead in the Valley of Dura. So he realizes at the same time, the Maharal points out that in some sense, being saved from death, Chanan, Mishael, and Azariah, they're supposed to die, if I thrown into a pit, a fiery pit. Them being saved from death is like Tchiyas HaMeisim. And at that point, Nebuchadnezzar said, Pasach v'amar, Nebuchadnezzar opened his mouth up and said, Osoi kama ravravit. He said, the signs of Hashem, look how great they are. V'simhoi kama takifin. And his deeds, his wondrous deeds, look how strong they are. Machuse machus kol, machuse machus olam v'shaltane imdar v'dar. The kingdom of Hashem is a kingdom forever, and his ruling will be for a generation. It's like machus kol, machus kol mim, v'shaltane imdar v'dar. He's similar to that. He says that in Aramaic. Essentially, what's going on here? After the Churban, as I mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar thought that there was a severed relationship between Hashem and the Jews. Therefore, he forced Chanan to worship idolatry. He didn't realize there was still a deep connection between Hashem and the Jews even after the Churban. So what's his response? He says, according to Marsha, he says, what's the os and the nes? He says, what the asohi, kamravavid, the signs, the osos, the miracle, right? That's Chanan Mishal Mazariah. One of the unbelievable miracles where they were saved from a fiery furnace. And what's the tamhoi? What's the wondrous thing? Or the signs, and the wondrous thing is the Hashem resurrected the dead. So he says, he acknowledges both of these miracles, and then he says, "Machuska, machuska, me." What does that mean? That God's kingdom is going to rule forever. In other words, it doesn't end with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Then the Gemara says, "Amar of Yitzchak, Yitzchak zav rotech latov piv shalosa rasha." It's a curse. Because it's a curse. It's fit that gold should be poured into the mouth of this wicked person, Nebuchadnezzar. El Mali Ba Malach Ustaro, had an angel come and not smacked him on the face, Alpiv, on his face. Bikesh the goddess Kol Shiro Tishbach Shomer David B'Sefer Tehillim. That because then Nebuchadnezzar would have wanted to sort of deprecate and denigrate all of the songs that David HaMelech said in Sefer Tehillim. After he said his first line here, Vasoi Kama Ravravin, then he was stopped by an angel. So what's going on? What's the concern? So Rashi seems to say that it's a concern that Nebuchadnezzar would outdo Tehillim. That David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, and maybe Nebuchadnezzar would say poetry and songs about God that would rival, maybe even exceed David HaMelech's Tehillim. That's very difficult. Rashi says, how could that be? How could it be? How could Nebuchadnezzar outdo Tehillim? Tehillim was created with Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar knows how to write. No, Nebuchadnezzar, maybe he knows how to write beautifully. But he didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh of David. How could they even have a Havamin? How could he even think that his praises would exceed that of David HaMelech? And so the Rasha says, no. The point is that to your average person, to an untrained ear, someone who doesn't understand the deeper meanings, so he could fool the people into thinking that his praises were greater than David's praises, because if you're not fine tuned or in tune with the deeper spiritual meanings, you're gonna think, like, what do I know? I don't know about poetry. This seems better than that. That seems better than this. So Nebuchadnezzar would make it seem like, oh my gosh, my poetry is so much better than David, even though in reality, of course, it's not, because he never Ruach HaKodesh. But your simpleton wouldn't know that. So that's why he was stopped. The Iyun Yaakov said that actually, according to that, he had a negative intentions in terms of praising God more, just to make himself seem greater than David HaMelech. The Iyun Yaakov said he had positive intentions, but he says that we should be limited in our praises, right? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not supposed to praise Hashem in a way more than Moshe praises, right? Our tefillos, we don't pray more. Why? Because if you say that God is great, so if you keep on praising Hashem, you're always going to be lacking. Hashem is greater than any praise that we can ever give. So that's how we can say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Akel HaGadol HaGibor V'Anarak. That's what Moshe said. But we can't praise anything ourselves, because whatever we do is going to be lacking. The Mar Yecheskel points out that, how do you praise God? The way you're supposed to praise Hashem, to give Shevach praise to Hashem, how awesome He is, you're always going to be lacking. You shouldn't do that. You can only do what our ancestors did. You can mimic them. You can't do any more than that. Once you do more, you're going to be lacking. You're not going to do enough. What did David HaMelech do? He didn't do Shevach. He did Hodah. What's Hodah? Hodah is how you're thanking Hashem for what He did for me. You're recognizing the special situation where Hashem helped me so that you can appreciate that. That's what David did in Tehillim. a David does in Tehillim are expression of gratitude for sensing Hashem's presence in his daily life. So that you can do. You experience something, a gift from God, then you can say it. The Nebuchadnezzar just wanted to say Shevach, general praise. That he can't do, because that's, you're limited, because anything you do, it's limited. The only thing you can do is Hodah, that's what David HaMelech did, and because the Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do Shevach, so then he was not allowed to do that. And the angel slapped him on the face, on the mouth, so that he would stop praising Hashem.